Hi, my name's Sydney. Hi, my name is Sydney, and this is...
Welcome.
Tales of the Wicked from Sydney and Megan. Hi, my name is Sydney, and this is...
Sydney?
That was Megan, and this is...
Aaron. John.
That's our dumbass husbands. Tales of the Wicked. Hey guys, welcome back to another week. Sid, how's it going?
Very sad because I'm back from Vegas and it's cold and gray in Ohio.
I know, we're all having pre-vacation blues this week.
We really are. Everyone's tired and sad.
I know.
It's supposed to be an ice storm tonight.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. I like how if you look at the pictures of all of us together, like we all have bottles of water in our hand in one hand and then a drink in the other hand.
Well, in my case, that bottle of vodka, the bottle of water was full of vodka.
So Megan had a traveling bar Saturday night. She had her purse, and then hooked onto her purse was a Vegas bottle that had cranberry juice in it. And then she had grenadine in her purse. And then she had a water bottle filled with Tito's, warm Tito's, not even like good quality, I don't know, temperature Tito's. It was
I didn't have like a cup of ice.
It was so funny.
But then with that, I also had two cans of High Noon and a can of Red Bull all in my purse. And it's actually a very small purse.
It is a small purse. Did you see, whenever I saw Megan, I was like, my dad's name's Sean, and Sean is a drinker. 10 out of 10 is a big drinker. And anytime we go somewhere, he has a traveling bar is what he calls it. Especially like he likes to go to the beach a lot. So when he's at the beach, when he goes down like onto the sand and stuff, he always makes like a little bar with like, so he can make cocktails while he's sitting down there. So I saw Megan and I was like, that's some Sean Smith energy right there. And then we saw my dad and he was like, heck yeah. Like, hell yeah. That's sweet. He was all about it.
It's a good idea. I mean, I bought a jug of Tito's. I didn't want to waste that money. Like, I knew we weren't going to use it after that night because everyone was leaving, so.
Yeah, I mean, you probably saved yourself a lot of money compared to the rest of us.
I probably did. I really didn't pay for much alcohol at all after I bought that jug.
By Sunday, because we didn't leave Sunday night until 11 o'clock. Like, we didn't have to go to the airport until 9. So we were still, I got like a Bloody Mary for breakfast and then we got margaritas when we were getting dinner at a taco place. And John looked at me and like my margarita was $17. Ooh. And it was just in like your basic shallow glass. I mean, it tastes good, but still it was $17. And he looked at me and he was like, I'm just getting pissed off at this point. He was like, why is this place so expensive? He's like, it doesn't even need to be that expensive. Like I could go to Barrio down the road and get a pitcher of margaritas for cheaper than that one glass.
See, you guys weren't taking advantage of sitting on a slot machine, barely spending any money, and then getting a free drink.
No.
You guys were doing it wrong.
No, I don't sit at slot machines.
Literally all you would have to do is, like, every couple minutes play with, like, $10, and then someone would eventually come by, you get a drink, tip them a couple bucks, and then you've spent maybe a couple bucks.
Yeah.
But it's, like, a couple drinks.
Yeah. The only time I really gambled was Saturday night. I did a little bit Friday, like when we went down to Fremont and then my stomach, like I was literally going to throw up and pass out all at the same time when I was down there. So I went back to the room, I took a nap, and then when I woke up, me, Adrian, and John, we went to Caesars and we gambled and we went over to Planet Hollywood and stuff. And I actually did pretty good. Like I was playing with $100. And I would like go up and then whenever I would hit back to 100, I would just pull out and then sit on a different machine. And I think I ended the night being up like almost, I was up to almost like 200 and I was like, oh, I'm really happy about this. And then I took it out. And then Saturday night when we were gambling, I just lost everything.
Yeah, I lost because I had a gambling budget and a everything else budget. And I had like spent everything in my gambling budget, and then I basically broke even. And then when I was at Saturday night, I, for whatever reason, the gambling gods were on my side and I won it all back plus some. So I was pretty happy.
You were doing good is what you were doing.
I know. And then I tested my luck Sunday. I don't know. Sunday night is when I did all that gambling. And then Monday all day, because we didn't leave again until Monday night. I tested my luck and lost like $200. I'm like, no, like, clearly the luck's not on my side today. I'm done. Like, I don't want to lose anymore. We're good.
Yeah.
But I didn't even talk about it. The best part of the entire trip, do you want to guess what that was?
The bottomless mimosas?
No. It was something you weren't there for.
The haunted museum?
Close. No. Going to Hooters for dinner.
Hooters for dinner?
Yeah. It was the best part of the trip. I was so excited for it.
Are you serious? You're being sarcastic, right?
No, it's my favorite restaurant.
Is it?
I grew up in Florida. Yes, it's my favorite restaurant.
I don't think I've ever been to a Hooters.
Oh my god, it's the best. Their wings. They have cheesy fry. I can't even. It's so good.
Dang, that does sound good. I've been like craving french fries. To be fair, I'm always craving french fries, and last night it was like 10:30 and we were laying in bed and John was like, I'm kind of hungry. I was like, yeah, I want like french fries and a burger. And he was like, I'm never gonna lose weight with the way that you eat. He's like, you eat like garbage all the time. Leave me alone.
Yeah, I mean, that's I guess the kind of good thing about living in the middle of fucking nowhere is you have to like go out of your way to get something like that. So Aaron and I just eat whatever we have at the house.
Yeah, we're going grocery shopping today because we were like, this is get it. Why work all weekend? So I was like, I need food while I'm at work all day, all weekend.
But yeah, I thankfully have time to go grocery shopping now because I'm not working overtime anymore. So
nice.
I'm gonna go grocery shopping tomorrow, or maybe even tonight after work if I'm feeling spicy. Who knows?
Look at that. Well, it's supposed to start like sleeting. Like rain snow mix tonight, so I would wait.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, okay. Anyways, so another thing that you had mentioned that was also the highlight of my trip that I actually want to talk about is the Zach Bagans Haunted Museum. But before I get into that, I had a couple of fun facts that actually I had looked up my like first or second night in Vegas, and I was waiting until the end to give you these fun facts.
You were drunk and said, hey, can I tell you this now that the trip's over? I said, what? She goes, your hotel is the most haunted hotel in Vegas.
It's
I was
like, thank like you. The third most haunted, actually.
Okay.
But did I tell you why it was?
I think you said something about like when they were building it, like
no,
the
that's
building
not it.
Collapsed
okay.
on people, or I don't
no,
remember.
Not this one.
I was okay. Also a little fuzzy at the moment that you told me.
So we're going to actually start with the first one, or one of the first ones. I think this one's technically the second one. I wasn't actually looking at the number. But we're going to talk about the Luxor, and then we're going to talk about Bally's, which is where you stayed, which I can say that now because we are no longer there. So it's fine.
Yep.
Okay. So this is actually just going to be one really long quote from this one website because I really liked how they worded everything, and it was 3 a.m. when I wrote this and I was too lazy. So I'm taking this all from vegasforall.com.
Okay.
Which they actually had a lot of like really good information on all of the hotels and stuff. So it was a pretty cool website to look at. Okay. So right now we're going to be talking about the Luxor, which did you see the Luxor?
Yeah.
It was really cool on the inside.
It was, which I was kind of, so the Bally's was definitely my least favorite hotel that was out of all the ones that I went to. And my mom was going in between because they're all the same price. So Luxor, the Flamingo, and Bally's, which are literally right in a line next to each other.
Well, the Luxor is like at the end.
Yeah, they were all around you know, within 20, 30 bucks of each other. And then when we got on one day, because we went through Orbitz, which like booked our flight and our hotel at the same time. Like one day we got on and Flamingo was the cheapest. And the next day we got on and Bally's was. So it just, whenever we booked, Bally's happened to be the cheapest one. So we're like, oh, well, so 20 bucks cheaper, let's pick this one. But I did go into Luxor and it had like those like lights on the ceilings that like swirled and stuff.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that one was pretty cool too. It was pretty close to Hooters, so we went there after we got our meal. And Aaron was making fun of me because we went to dinner at like, God, what time was it? Like 7 or 8, and then we were out until 3 in the morning. So we stopped. Okay, so I remember actually now. We stopped eating around 9:30. So from 9:30 p.m. until 3 in the morning. I was carrying around a paper bag that just contained wings. And Aaron's like, throw those fucking wings away. I'm like, no, like, this is my dinner. Why would I throw it away?
What if you need a midnight snack?
Yeah. I'm like, because I knew I have this annoying thing where I like to order too much food so that way I have some to take home because I want more later.
Right.
And so I ate all my fries, ate all my appetizers because those don't heat up well, but wings do. And so I didn't even eat my wings when I was at Hooters.
Did you eat them later that night?
I ate them as soon as I got into my hotel room.
Nice.
Like, before I could even get my shoes off, I'm like...
You were eating wings.
Elbows deep in wings.
That's great.
Okay. So now to talk about the Luxor really quick.
Yes.
Quote, the reputation dates back to its construction. Workers who died at the Great Pyramids at Giza and the ancient... Egypt were said to have been entombed under the rocks of the gradually rising pyramid. The haunting of the Luxor has eerily similar underpinnings. Supposedly, anywhere from 2 to 7 construction workers were killed when the surrounding walls collapsed on them. One of their spirits is said to still haunt the halls of the finished hotel. It gets even crazier. Numerous patrons have hurled themselves to their deaths from the balconies that lined the inner atrium of the hotel.
Ugh.
Most did not leave a note and seemed to have no motivation to kill themselves, nor a history of suicidality. What happened to make them suddenly take the plunge? Perhaps it's the sinister history behind the ground itself. Vegas has a long history of mob involvement in the casino industry, and mobsters have a way of whacking the people who get in their way. When someone is whacked, the body must be disposed of, and the future site of the Luxor Hotel and Casino was one of the plots where the plots of land where mobsters would regularly bury the bodies of their victims.
Ooh.
So it's basically a mob graveyard.
Yes, yeah.
Few hotels and casinos had sprung up that far south on the strip, and the term holes in the strip came to be associated with those unmarked mob hit graves. You might have heard of the MGM Grand. Many Vegas visitors know, and it is not the original MGM Grand. The original sat on the site that is now known as Bally's. Even fewer know the story of how the Grand caught on fire in 1980, a grand disaster that claimed 87 lives in one of the towers that it now forms a portion of the 2818 room Bally's Las Vegas Hotel and Casino. The spirits I'm sorry. This fucking van.
You're getting through it. You're getting through it.
I'm so tired still. Okay. The spirits remember, however, the tower makes Bally's one of the most notable haunted hotels in Las Vegas. Guests have reported strange, inexplicable. I have so much editing to do. Okay. Guests have reported strange, inexplicable shadows in the hallways, as well as strange noises and furniture that seems to move on its own accord. The paranormal activity gets the worse the higher the tower you ascend. End quote.
Okay, John and I had some weird encounters while we were in the hotel.
I was going to ask. Well, first off, how high up were you guys?
We were on the 22nd floor.
Whoa.
And I think there was 29, 27.
At least 28, because they mentioned 28.
Okay, there might be 20 because the top floor was the ballroom. But we did have strange encounters, but they weren't with, like, it wasn't paranormal. It was with people, but, like, it was weird. Like, so, for instance, the one night, it was, like, 3:30 in the morning or something like that. Which, like, the Bally's, like, the floors and, like, the rooms and stuff were very nice. They were very up to date. They were big. The beds were comfortable. Like, just the casino and everything itself just definitely was not my favorite out of all of the hotels. But it was late at night. It was, like, 3:30, maybe 4 in the morning. And John and I are going up to our room. And the hallways are quiet. There's no music or anything. And we're walking. And then we turn down to our hallway. And there's a man standing in the hallway, not even, like, leaning up against a door. He isn't with anyone. Dead quiet. The second we turn the hallway, he's turned his head and stared at us. And John and I are walking. Like, have to walk down the hallway past this man to get to our room. And we're walking. And he just stared at us the entire time. Didn't blink. Didn't smirk. Didn't do anything. Didn't say hello. Just stared at us. And so, like, John and I are, like, holding each other's hands, like, standing very close to each other. Then we even both did, like, that half smirk smile thing. He didn't flinch, and his head followed us, like, as we were walking. And we got into our room, and John pushed, like, literally shoved me into the room first. And he turned to look at this guy before he closed the door, and the guy was walking towards us, like, walking our direction. So John closed the door, put the lock out, and was staring through the peephole and couldn't see the guy anywhere.
That sounds like a ghost.
So, well, yeah, I don't know. Was it? I mean, because we talk about paranormal stuff, so I was like, holy cow, maybe that was a ghost or something. Or maybe he went into a room that was next to ours. I don't know. But he was just standing there, and the second we turned the hallway, he was staring at us. And then we were, like, walking down the hallway. He didn't talk to us. He didn't smirk or anything. We even smiled at him. He followed us with his head and watched us. And then John shoved me in the room. He came in behind us. And then when he turned to look at the guy was walking towards us. And we literally stood at the door, and John looked out of the peephole and nothing.
I mean, I hate to break it to you, but I feel like that's probably a ghost.
I don't know. It was creepy, though. John had another weird encounter with someone in the, what's it called? The elevator. Mm-hmm. But, like, it just seemed like it was a guy that was super freaking drunk and just didn't know what was going on. And that's more believable than a ghost. But the hallway thing was, it was eerie. It was creepy.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then, I don't know if you noticed this, because Bally's is connected to Paris, the Paris Hotel. When you walk through, there is a statue, and it's called the Aftermath. So you were talking about MGM, like, burning down in that location. It's a statue of a worker with, like, a shovel or something, and then it had, like, a bunch of debris, and it was just, like, him bent over shoveling the debris, and it was called the Aftermath. So I wonder if that had to do anything with, like, the hotel burning down and stuff.
Oh, it probably did, yeah.
I didn't read anything about it. I just saw it, and then I just looked at, like, the title of it, and then I was like, oh, okay. Because I wondered if it was, like, a person or anything. I should have been more curious.
Huh. Yeah. We'll have to look at that next time we go.
Yeah. In what, 4 years?
Three
years.
Why are we going in four?
I always forget that you're a year older than me.
Okay, I was going to say, I'm going for my 30th. I don't know what you're for yours.
No. I always forget that you're a year older than me. So whenever I think of you turning 30, I think of, like, me turning 30. But you're a year ahead of me.
Ew, it's gross to think I'm going to be 30 in 3 years.
Ew. We're not talking about that right now.
Ew. Yeah, no, you're right. Okay, sorry.
Tell me about your haunted museum.
I also, before I get into my story, because I have a shorter story today, because I still have a lot more to talk about. But my story will fit into what I'm talking about right now, which is going to be the Zach Bagans Haunted Museum. Okay, so Sid, have you, like, heard anything about, like, what's in this museum?
The only thing I know about the museum is what you've told me. So I know very little to none about it.
Okay. Yeah, because I didn't want to say anything about the museum after I went there, just so that way we could talk about it here. But right. I am just going to say right now, this museum was the coolest thing I have ever done in my life. Like, it was so fascinating. So I'm only going to talk about a few of the more popular things that are in here that people already talk about being in this museum. So that way I'm not like spoiling the whole museum for everyone.
Okay.
So I'm just going to, you know, talk about like probably the three or four most popular things that people already know about and that like are already like super like heavily advertised for being in this museum. Because okay. they had so much like put into this. I don't want to like just talk about everything that's in there.
Right.
One thing I was kind of surprised, like I get, but I was also a little surprised about is you're not like when you walk into this room, like you walk in, you go into the lobby first, and then you walk out of the lobby, go around the corner of the building, like on the outside, and then you walk in because this building is a house.
Oh.
And so you walk around, like you walk in like the front, like mudroom area. And then walk out a side door, walk around the house, and then walk in through one of the main entrances. Mm-hmm. And that starts the museum. But when you're in that, like, front room area, you have to shut off your phone. Because they're like, you know, you can't take any pictures, you can't take any videos. Which I get, because there's so much in there. They probably don't want, like, everything being, like, you know, just displayed on the internet. But then also... from a paranormal standpoint, I'm like, don't you, like, wouldn't you want people to take pictures of, like, the haunted stuff to try to, like, capture more?
So it would have been cool if you had those pictures.
Yeah. But that honestly wasn't a big deal because you're just so immersed in this, like, experience. You don't even have time to, like, think about, like, pulling out your phone anyways.
Right.
Okay.
Wait,
so,
before you start this,
yes.
You have to tell them about the waiver that the little snippet of the waiver that you had to sign.
Yeah. Yeah. So I forget exactly like what it said, but basically like there was this like long waiver and one of it was like, oh, like if you get haunted or if like a ghost follows you home, like we're not responsible for that. If you get hurt or if someone like around you gets hurt or if you get killed, we're not responsible. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll go.
Yeah, it's fine. Sure.
Why not?
All right.
Okay. So I'm going to talk about three of the things that I really liked there because the fourth one is my topic today.
Okay.
So first off, have you ever heard of Dr. Kevorkian?
No.
Okay, so I hadn't heard of him either, but he was this, like, doctor, I guess. And he, I'm trying to think of the word, sorry. He, like, I guess, like, against medical advice or whatever, was, like, assisting.
He went against, like, his code. Everyone takes an oath.
Yeah, so his frame of mind was, like, oh, like, when a dog is close to the end of their life, you can humanely put them down. So why can't we do that with a human? So he did like assisted medical suicide.
Okay.
But there was like a lot of like controversy and shit behind that.
Yeah.
And
that
I know there's
a
lot
thing.
Yeah.
I don't believe that it still is, but
I think in actual medical settings it is, but this guy did out of his van.
Okay.
And I know there's a lot more to the story, but I have to look into it still. So,
right.
But this place had a room with like a whole like medical lab looking setup and like, and it was really cool. So with this museum, it's a guided tour. You have tour guides who really like get into the character of everything. Everyone there was so great. Mm-hmm. And, each room has a TV where Zach Bagans, he like records himself explaining what's in this room. So it's like you get an explanation from him and from the tour guide. And okay. So there's like a room where they had like just a bunch of stuff about him. And then you go into the next room and his actual van is in that room.
How much money do you think this guy had to pay to get this van?
Probably a decent amount.
Holy cow. You know what I mean? Like paranormal people are like would want that van.
Yeah.
That is so cool. So did he, like, give them, like, a medication, or what did he do?
Yeah, so it was basically, like, he gave them, like, all of these IVs set up, and he gave them, like, a button, and whenever you were ready, you would press the button, and all the medicine would go inside you.
So kind of like, what do I want to say, like prisoners, like the with the death sentence, like when they give them the injection?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
And I'm sure it's a lot worse than I'm describing. Like I said, I really haven't looked into this at all.
Yeah.
The only like information I have is what I can remember from the tour. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really cool. I mean, that's not, I don't know. Like, is that a, I don't know the kind of people that went to him that asked for this.
People who were sick. Like the one person who they gave as an example of was this woman. I don't remember her name, but she, the day she got diagnosed with Alzheimer's, she went to Dr. Kevorkian. She was like, you know, like, this disease is going to take me. I don't want to go through with it. So we're going to just take care of it now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I like mean, the day.
Their choice to go to this man, like, he's doing what they're asking them
yeah
to do. But that's, so what did he do with the bodies after? I don't know if they told you this or not.
Yeah, okay. They didn't go that far into it.
Into detail.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Did they let you, like, see inside of it?
Yeah, so they had the van door open with the mannequin, and then they had, like, a makeshift, like, setup of what it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And one really, really cool, like, creepy factor of it is he, I guess, composed this one, like, instrumental, like, orchestral song, and he would play this song when people were dying. So you're in this room looking at the actual van where people were spending their last moments, seeing how they were spending their last moments, hearing the exact same sound.
Wow.
That was the last thing that they would ever hear.
Wow.
Yeah, so you were, like, really immersed
into
this whole... You were
fully immersed into what it... Man, I should have bucked up and did this with you so far.
Well, the next time we go to Vegas, I told it, because they said, like, every couple years the exhibits change. Like, this one girl that was in our group, she's like, yeah, I've been here a couple times. The last time I was here was 3 years ago. He's like, okay, so a lot has changed since you've been here 3 years ago.
Wow.
So we're going in 3 years, so I'm gonna go back.
Yeah, I think since it was, like, first time in Vegas, I was like, I want to see all the hotels and I want to do all this. But now that I'm going back a second time, like, I've already seen Caesar's Palace and Venetian and stuff. Like, we should do the body exhibit. And we should do the haunted hotel. That sounds really interesting.
That's what we're doing with our next trip. Like, me and Aaron already talked about, because this time here, our goal was to just check out every single hotel, which was going to take up our whole trip anyway. So we're like, okay, next time we go, we're like, we're going to go hiking like your mom did. And I want to go back to this museum, but Aaron already told me he didn't want to go back. So you might have to come with me, or I'm going to go alone.
This sounds cool. I'm interested.
And one really cool thing about this museum, so the tickets are actually, like, decently priced. It's a 2-hour like experience, and it was $49, which is not bad at all. But then when we get there, I didn't realize that we bought the general admission tickets, and then there was the, instead of, like, a VIP, it's a RIP tour.
Okay.
Which they said is basically the exact same tour, except it's, like, it's the same amount of time. It's an extra $30, but with it, you get, like, a really cool-looking lanyard. You get a t-shirt, which was already $38 by itself, which I really wanted anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And you get access to 6 different rooms that the general admission people don't get, which we, like, me and Aaron, like, we heard all that, and we just, like, looked at each other, like, okay, so we're upgrading, right? Because they, like, they let you upgrade after they tell you what you can get for the extra $30.
Oh, so you did upgrade?
Yeah, and it was extremely worth it, because one of my favorite rooms was RIP access only.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, it was extremely worth it. When we go, we'll definitely have to get
to do the upgraded.
Yeah, because, like I said, you get a t-shirt, which is worth more than the ticket sale by itself. Yeah. It's a nice t-shirt, too.
Yeah.
So, the next room I wanted to talk about was the serial killer room, which was super, super cool. So they had, so you walk into this room, and it's divided into 2 rooms. And dividing the rooms are actual bars from prisons, like a real, like, bar from a cell in prison.
Okay.
So that's cool. Like, a lot of this stuff is, like, real artifacts and stuff. And so it was just about a bunch of different serial killers. Like, they had their pictures on the walls. Like, they had a picture of the Green River Killer. They had an entire, like, cases dedicated, like, a bookshelf case dedicated to Ted Bundy, Charles Manson, John Wayne Gacy, the Golden State Killer, which I think is, I don't even know what the fuck name is, Charles Manson. Yeah. And they had, like, in the Ted Bundy case, they had, like, Ted Bundy's glasses. They had his kill kit, which was, like, his ski mask, his gloves, his ice pick. And then, I don't know if you know anything about John Wayne Gacy. But
I know a little bit about him.
Yeah, so when he was in prison, he would make paintings of himself as Pogo the Clown, which was his clown getup.
Right, yeah.
And so they had, like, all of his paintings in there. They had a bunch of, like, Charles Manson stuff. Like, a lot of really, really fascinating serial killer stuff, too. So it's not all just paranormal. In this museum, it's true crime, paranormal, and, like, just oddities and, like, cool stuff. Like, they had this little room where it was, like, movie memorabilia. Like, there's this one movie where this guy, like, I think the name of the movie is The Crow or something like that. And the main actor in it, from what I remember, they were supposed to do, like, a shooting scene with, like, a toy gun, like, a prop gun. And I guess it was a real gun. And they didn't realize, like, it went off and it shot him and killed him. And so the robe he wore in that movie was in that movie room.
Oh,
but then they had, like, a little offshoot of, like, a different movie. And they're like, oh, this isn't, like, any, like, true crime or, like, paranormal. We just think it's fun to have this in here. So it's, like, this whole, like, separate room for, like, this other movie. So it was a lot of, like, really fun stuff. Like, a lot of stuff that I wasn't expecting, too, but I don't want to give too much away, so I'll just stop
that
there.
That all sounds really, really interesting.
It was so cool. Like, even Aaron, like, he's not super into true crime. He's not super into paranormal. And he walked away going, like, I am so happy you, like, made me do this. This was so much fun. Yeah. Yeah, he really, really, really enjoyed it.
What I think is interesting is, so, like, the one thing that they said in the, you know, Ted Bundy documentary tapes or whatever it was, the one thing that he liked was that he was becoming well known and he liked the fame and stuff. And I think that's what a lot of serial killers like. They like the chase of it all, and that, you know, people are fascinated with them and they get famous for what they do. And, like, we're paying money to go to museums that have their stuff. Like, that's everything that they wanted. Like, they got what they wanted. You know what I mean? Like, it's giving them, they're all, I don't know if they're all dead, but, well, I mean, majority of them, but it's just, I don't know. I'm, like, giving them exactly what they murdered people and they're serial killers and they did terrible things. And I'm like, heck yeah, I want to see all their stuff. And, like, that's just exactly what they wanted. That's, like, that was their whole thing.
I know, that's, like, the
murdering, like, people.
Yeah. That's, like, the morbid curiosity factor in all of us.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as we hate to admit it, we find that stuff, like, so fascinating. Like, even in the old days, like, someone would get mad at their house, and then half the town's in their yard trying to go through the crime scene before the police can even get there. Like,
yeah. Like, you said that they had Ted Bundy's, like, murder kit with his ice picks and stuff. Like, women were tortured and killed with everything that was in that bag. And it's just sitting in a case, and we're like, holy shit, this is so cool. You know what I mean? Because it is cool, but it's also, like, the type of things that happened and the people that had to, like, lost their lives to what these men did is sad.
Yeah. And one thing that I like about this place, and a lot of, like, true crime podcasts do this too, but this place in particular, they, like, next to the, like, Ted Bundy's murder kit, they had an entire, like, in the glade, like, two glass cases, because they're small cases for Bundy. Yeah. And, like, one of them, there was, like, two shelves full of, like, pictures of, like, the victims and, like, who they were.
Still,
so it's not just
glamorizing
them. Yeah. And, like, in the Dr. Kevorkian room, they had pictures and, like, brief descriptions and even some quotes from some of the victims. So it's like they're still recognizing that, while this is fascinating, this is still a person that killed another person, and this is who this really affected. Like, so I really appreciate that they did that, because you always want to make sure you're not, you know, glamorizing them and separating, like, the killer from, like, you know, their crimes. Like, you want to make sure you're including, like, yeah, it is, like, I don't want to say cool. Like, it is, like, fascinating to learn about this.
It's interesting.
But you have to remember, like,
they're still a malicious
they
person.
They are monsters, yeah.
Yes, yeah. That's a really good way to put it.
Yeah, so I am really happy that they, like, weren't just being super, like, macabre and creepy about it. Like,
mm-hmm.
they had all this stuff, but then they were still recognizing, like, these are the people who experienced these things. So,
do you know if anyone has, or do you know what happened to the trailer for the Toy Box Killer?
I think they destroyed it, maybe.
Did they?
I don't remember. I just know that, like, the police took custody of it, so I'm assuming that
right,
they did.
Right, so they have, yeah.
Because for a while it probably sat in evidence, but
I mean,
it's
it probably
not, like,
stayed where it was because they needed to go through the whole thing.
Yeah, but thankfully it wasn't one of those things where, like, they had to hold on to it for years because they couldn't figure out who it was. Like, they knew right away who it was.
Yeah, right.
So it was just evidence convicting him, not evidence for finding him. So
right. Yeah, agreed.
Okay, so my last one that I'm just going to briefly really talk about, because I am actually going to cover this in a case on its own, so I'm not going to mm-hmm. give too much information. So I'm just going to talk about, like, what it is, and then how I felt about it.
Okay.
And then later, actually in a probably more recent episode, I'll cover this topic alone.
Okay.
So this is the Dybbuk box. Have you ever heard me talk about it? Because I'm sure I've talked about it before.
It sounds familiar, but I don't really know. I might know it from what you've said before. Like, I know the name, but I mm-hmm. don't know anything about it. Unless you explain it. Like, the doctor thing, giving out medication or that. Like, that sounds familiar. I feel like I've heard that before. But when you said the name, I was like, I don't know who that is. It's kind of like the same thing.
Yeah, okay. So this box, actually, it's like a little wine cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And it is supposed to be, like, the most haunted artifact in the world.
Okay, I think you've told me about
this. I
think
in the world. And it actually, fun fact, is said to have cursed Post Malone.
Your
have you heard
Posty?
That story?
Yeah. No.
Okay, so he is actually friends with Zach Bagans. And it was really cool. Okay, so, sorry, just to go back to the museum one more time. In a lot of the rooms with, like, real, like, haunted shit, actually in most of the rooms, they have a video camera, like, security cameras in each room, and they're going, like, 24 hours, so that way if it captures anything, like, they can display them on the TVs that are in every room.
Yeah.
And so Post Malone and their friends, I don't know if it's Bagans, whatever, they're friends, and they were, like, hanging out in this museum after hours. Would be a good idea to put the ashes that he had of some woman that were actually in the museum, and they're still in the museum. He put some of her ashes on the Dybbuk box, and he, like, obviously took the plexiglass box off of it, did that, and then touched it, and he, like, flew back. Like, you can see this on the security camera, and he, like, flew back and, like, started, like, freaking the fuck out, and, like, Post Malone, like, touched his arm, like, hey, like, what's going on? And they said, like, they've literally felt something, like, run through Zach's arm into Post Malone's arm. And then, after that, when they left, like, immediately, Post Malone's private plane crashed. He was in a really bad car accident, and his house was broken into.
What?
So they're like, yeah, this box, like, cursed Post Malone.
So how is it the most? Oh, you said you're going to do a case on it.
Yeah, I'm going to do a case about the actual box itself.
So they keep all this stuff kind of like the Annabelle doll. Like, they keep it all in plexiglass.
Well, now this box is not only in a plexiglass box, it is also in another plexi, or, like, just maybe a regular glass box with, like, wooden frames on it. So there's no way someone can just move it.
Okay, but, like, whenever he got this box, also, how cool is that? You have one of the most haunted artifacts literally, like, in the world or whatever. And
he has, like,
museum.
He has, like, all of the haunted stuff in that museum.
And like,
the house itself is haunted.
When you transfer it, like, did you not touch the box and transfer? How does plexiglass keep demons in?
I think it's just the fact of not making physical human contact with it.
Okay. Like,
yeah.
No one, if it's covered in a bunch of glass, like, no one can go up to it and even attempt to try to touch it. I wouldn't even touch the glass. That's bad juju.
I wasn't touching the glass. I'm like, that's a glass inside of a glass with a box, but I'm still not touching it.
I'm still not even. Nope.
Yeah, and like they had a ring of salt around it and then sticks of sage around that. I'm like, with all the precaution you're taking, I'm good.
Yeah, I still don't feel safe.
But so a lot of these rooms were said to have like effects on people. And one of them actually really got Aaron. It was the room that's has an artifact from one of the Conjuring movies, the last Conjuring movie.
Okay.
And the tour guide said, he's like, this room like has a big effect on people. Like, he's like, even myself, like, as soon as I walk into this room, like, I get really emotional. Like, my eyes start to water. He's like, I can't control it. It happens every tour. I just get choked up in this room. And then me and Aaron left that room. He's like, that happened to me. He's like, my eyes were watering. Like, I couldn't even describe why, but just, like, I just felt, like, emotional in that room.
Huh.
And, you know, Aaron, he's not, like, a weepy guy.
No, he doesn't. I don't think I've ever even seen him cry.
Yeah. And, like, there were a lot of rooms where the only, like, effect that they had on actually the Divic Box room and the one that I'm about to talk about now, which is my case today, the only, like, real reaction I had was I felt a draw. I felt like we were in those room for a good couple minutes, and I felt like I kept needing to go back. Like, mm-hmm. I kept feeling drawn to those rooms. But those were the two most, like, powerful, like, rooms, like the two most, you know, like, insanely haunted things. Uh-huh. And those were, I just kept feeling like drawn, like I needed to go back. And I'm like, this is probably a really bad thing, and I probably should not go back into those rooms for a while. But right. I just felt like I kept needing to go back. And I got like a little lightheaded in a few rooms, and mm-hmm. a lot of the rooms gave me anxiety, and I just felt like my chest was super heavy and I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
Those were like the only experiences we really had. And then they did say that the one I'm about to talk about now, I will say now that she's a doll, and okay. she is to give people really bad dreams. And I will admit, I had a bad dream last night or the night before, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. So
okay.
Without further ado, today I am going to give you just the brief history, because I looked for hours on this and I couldn't find much, because people, like, they just wanted to show videos of this doll, and mm-hmm. not much is really known about her, so
except for that she's haunted.
Yeah. So it's a very brief history, but I'm gonna do what I can, and okay. we are going to talk about Peggy the doll.
Peggy the doll. It's always a doll.
Always a doll.
With a dumb name.
Not too much is known about the mysterious doll's background. From what I read, she was found by a woman at like a garage sale type thing. And when she came home with the woman, so the woman was like British, I think. Mm-hmm. They also, in the website, like I said, I was researching for at least 2 hours last night. I only found one website with actual information on this doll.
Oh, nice.
And on this website, this woman is never named.
Okay.
So she's just going to be referred to as the woman.
All right, the woman.
Okay, but as soon as the doll came to the woman's home, she began to stir up some mischief. The doll was said to haunt the woman's dreams. She would wake up in the middle of the night, hot and shaky. She had moved the doll to, like, all different rooms of her house, and she had spoken, like, a couple priests, and no one was able to help her or figure out, you know, what the fuck's going on. So she started to experience, like, fevers and hallucinations, and after all of that was happening, she was just really desperate to find an answer. Thank God for the internet and the ever-growing age of convenience that we live in now, she mm-hmm. was able to come across this other woman named Jane Harris, who we will be talking about from now on. So okay. we went from the woman to Jane, but these are completely different women.
Okay.
Jane is in a group, like an internet group, referred to as the Haunted Doll Social Media Group, which sounds like the group that I need to be in, because that sounds really cool.
Yeah.
After acquiring the doll and studying her, Harris and her doll group came to the conclusion that Peggy was possessed by a woman from London, who was from like the 1940s, I think 1946, they said exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The supposed woman died likely of like a heart attack or just like heart problems. And she is said to be, quote, restless, frustrated, and previously persecuted, possibly with ties to the Holocaust, end quote.
Oh.
And then I saw at somewhere during this article, they did like a spirit box reading with her, and they got the words Star and David. So they think possibly she might have been Jewish from the Holocaust.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's a much different energy.
Yes. Yeah.
The effects is the effect that the effects that she is known to have on people who visit her or even simply view her photos online varies from migraines, computers freezing, nightmares, and hallucinations. One woman in particular had a dream about her cats, and I'm sorry if you can hear that stupid truck going up and down my road.
I can't.
I live in a hick town.
Newton Falls.
And I will complain about this until the day that I die.
Hey, I grew up in that town.
And it is garbage.
I'm born and bred.
And you are garbage.
Thank you.
Okay, I am Canton trash. I can't say anything. One woman in particular had a dream about one of her cats, and they passed away the next morning. I mean, this was after seeing the doll.
Kitty.
Harris, after seeing feedback about the doll's lash out, she would put the doll in isolation and leave her and ask her to leave strangers alone. Basically, like putting a moody kid in timeout.
Mm-hmm.
One occasion, I'm sorry. On one occasion during research, like during like a research session that she had, Harris wrote her findings in a journal. And after that, it went missing. And she found the journal on top of a ceiling beam in her house. And her husband had to like climb up the stairs to get that journal. And that
husband
is
didn't die, did he?
No. And that is literally all I could find about this doll.
Okay.
But I did want to talk about, like, what they told me at the museum and what I just knew beforehand. So, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I listened to a podcast called And That's Why We Drink. Mm-hmm. I don't know where the fuck they got their information from. I was, like, desperately searching. And they did a really, really great episode on this doll. And so they have a lot more information than I could find. They probably... I don't know, pay for like better internet page services. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
But their episode on this doll was really, really good. So if you want more information, then I would go listen to their episode of it. They have like 1,000 episodes. I don't know which one it is. You'll figure it out.
Finding it. Yeah.
Yeah. You'll find it. It's fine. But so from what I heard and from what I experienced, this doll is said to have such powerful draw. Like, she, even like, I try not to say her name too much because, like, at the museum, they said, like, even like saying her name, like, gives
her in
energy and like invites her in. And like, people literally like get a nosebleed from like hearing her name too much. Like, and they said, like, all of her power is said to come through her eyes. And like, it's so creepy. Like, when you walk in, you have to, like, there's, like, a picture of her.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, it's, like, a giant square room with, like, a big U-shaped wooden structure in the middle. And so she's in the center of the room, and you have to go around the U-shaped wooden wall. And then
to
you
walk
can, like,
around
stand.
Her.
Well, no, to walk, like, in front of her. And you can kind of, like, stand in front of her, like, in this U-shaped wall. So that way, like, you can kind of, like, walk into part of the room. But if you don't want to look at her, you don't have to.
Okay.
But when you walk in the room, there's a picture of her. And you have to say, like, hello, Peggy. You go in. You look at her. Say or do whatever you want. Then you have to leave. And before you leave, you have to say, goodbye, Peggy. So you're cutting off ties.
Okay.
And I think beforehand, you were allowed to take a picture of her, whether it was at a different museum or at the current one. and they used to allow pictures. I don't know. But I know that you were supposed to ask, like, take your picture. And then And then you had to wait for, like, a response or something. And then you could take her picture.
Huh. Okay.
And so I, like, I've heard about this before. Like, I went to, she was one of the reasons I came to this museum, her in the Dybbuk box. And so, like, I had heard, like, all about her. And I was, like, a little paranoid. Because I'm extremely paranoid. Like, I'm in a weird spot with the paranormal where, like, I believe in a lot, but I'm also really afraid of it. So I try to tell myself it's not real.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
And so I felt weird about it. I was like, I probably don't want to go see her. I don't know. Like, we'll see how I feel when I get there.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know what? I'm here. I have to go see her.
Right.
And her, like, you're not really, like, you're, like, if you, like, look into her eyes, like, it's a huge personal choice that you have to make. But, like, that's how you make the most connection with her, is looking into her eyes.
Yeah. And
it's like, as soon as you get near her, you can't help it but to look in her eyes. They're, like, mesmerizing. It's like you look at them and you just feel, like, entranced. Like, you're drawn to look into her eyes.
So did you look into her eyes?
I stared into her eyes.
Oh, God.
Me and Aaron both did. And then when we left the museum, I looked at him and I go, well, hopefully we can get cursed. We do have to be on a plane later today.
I was going to say, hopefully our plane doesn't crash.
We were fine. Clearly we made it home just fine.
Yeah.
But, it was really wild just, like, you know, always hearing that you're not really supposed to, like, look into her eyes unless you want to, like, make a connection. And then you get there and you're like,
there you were.
I can't help it. I'm, like, zoned in.
Yeah.
It was really cool, though.
So I also feel like if I was there, I would be like, no. This is just a doll. I can look into her eyes. And then I'd be like, ugh.
Yeah. It's like they tell you the story about it before you do it. And it's just like hearing it's like kind of like, ooh, do I want to?
Yeah.
And then
right.
Her room is really, really cool because they obviously like have a camera pointed on her at all times. And underneath her, she's a big doll.
Mm-hmm.
And underneath her, they have a spirit box. Do you know what that is?
I don't know what a spirit box is.
So a really rough description of it is basically it's like a box that picks up on like radio frequencies and stuff. So it just sounds like radio static when you're standing next to it if it's turned on.
Oh, yeah.
But then like if the spirit's trying to say something, it'll pick up their voice. And because it might not be like audible to our ears, but the radio will pick it up and then you can hear it.
Yes. Yeah.
And
I've seen it in movies before, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, so they have that constantly running underneath her. And our tour guide, he's like, yeah, like, she can be kind of rude sometimes. Like, when one of the female tour guides will go in there, she calls them bitch a lot.
What?
But he goes, I don't know. She's kind of nice to me, though. She usually says hi, like, bye. She said my name a couple times. I must be her favorite tour guide.
Did she say anything when you guys were in there?
So she did say anything when we were in there. But I could, because I've never really, like, listen to a spirit box before, so like sometimes they can be really hard to make out, and I couldn't understand what she was saying, but she was saying something, because like you can definitely tell the difference between them talking and the static going,
right?
I just couldn't fully I also have really bad hearing anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But in our group there was three girls ahead of me and Aaron, and I don't know what their names were, but one of the girls who was in the group ahead of us, well, they were like in our group, but you like walked in individually basically.
Yeah.
And one of the girls who walked in ahead of us said that she said her name.
Oh.
But I don't know what her name was, so I couldn't have made it out. But they were like, all three were like, no, like she said her name, like very like specifically. So that was pretty cool. I'm trying to think of what else. I think that was basically all that happened.
But then you had a bad dream.
Yeah, I did have a bad dream. So do you remember the Annabelle movie? What's the second one?
Yeah, I've watched that
one. So do you remember how, like, in the beginning, there's that girl, like, the tall older girl who like murders that family at the beginning. Yes.
Yeah, that's isn't that supposed to be so, Annabelle?
Yes. So she was in my dream. But what it was is me and Aaron, because you know, like the situation where like in your dream, like it's your house, but not your actual like real life yes. house. But like in the yeah. dream, you know, it's your house.
Yeah.
So in the dream, me and Aaron were in a house that in the dream was our house, but not really our house. And it had a really, really long, like living room, like dining room, like area, like connected area, which okay. is a really big, long room. And me and him were sitting down and she was just like standing up, like she was really tall. And she had, instead of blonde hair, like she did in the movie, she had long brown hair. And she was like okay. in a like long white dress, basically.
Okay.
So it wasn't exactly her, but it, like she was the closest description I could like say. Think so you of. Could like picture what I'm looking at in the yeah. dream.
Yeah.
And me and him are just like sitting in like the like corner of the room, basically in a chair. And she is just walking up and down the room, like pacing the room, just staring dead on with like a real serious face. And I was like, Aaron, like, don't go near her. Like who is that? Like, what is she doing in her house? And he like goes up to her, and the next thing I know, like the dream's over. But it was like the most Ooh. Ominous, like creepy, like
that's creepy.
It was like the most hostile feeling like I've ever experienced. And it was like she was like holding a doll.
Yeah.
But it wasn't Peggy. It wasn't Annabelle. It was just another doll.
It was just a doll.
Yeah, but it was so that's creepy. And it happened the night after we went there.
That's creepy.
Yeah, so that was my experience at the museum and with her. And
maybe
yeah.
I don't want to go now.
No, you do.
I probably
see, will. You don't have to go see her. That's the thing. There are so many rooms where they're like, this is what's in this room. If you don't want to go, stand in the hallway with me. And there were plenty of people who didn't go and do like certain things.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're going to feel like a giant weenie for not doing it. Like, if you're not comfortable, like everyone has their own limits.
Weenie Hut Junior.
Yeah, you're over there in Weenie Hut Juniors.
Oh, that's funny. That sounds really interesting. That's really cool. I'm glad you went and that you enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was everything I wanted it to be and more, because they just had so much more than I was expecting it to be. Like, they had that place packed to the gills, but everything was so fascinating. It wasn't like overwhelming or anything.
I wonder if they have to go through like extensive training to work there.
I don't know. I mean, from what I saw, it was a bunch of like women our age, and then like a guy probably our age, and then like two elderly men.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's just like, because they don't handle the artifacts at all.
Yeah, but they have to constantly be in the rooms with the...
I think they just need to know what's going on.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're working in a haunted museum, you kind of know what you're signing up for anyways.
Yeah, I mean, that is true.
No,
you keep going.
One of the guys who, he wasn't a tour guide, but his job was to like count the line outside, let people into the group, explain how the tour is going to go, and then lead you into the beginning portion of the house where you meet your tour guide. And he was talking about how like he's known Zach Bagans for a long time, and he was like, oh, like, because a lot of people go because they're fans of Ghost Adventures, but right. I've never actually seen the show. I've just heard about this museum. And he was like, okay, so like, who here is a fan of Ghost Adventures? And like, everyone besides me raises their hand. And he's like, okay. Because they asked him, like, have you experienced anything? And he was like, okay, like, I'm going to tell you a story. He's like, have you guys seen the show? They all raise their hands. He's like, okay, do you remember the episode where, and I'm trying to remember what he was saying, but it was something along the lines of, like, do you remember the episode where this guy, like, Zach Bagans, like, saw this guy, and he had a rosary on his chest, and the rosary started getting burnt into this guy's chest because of like the demonic spirit nearby. They're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. He goes, okay, that was my rosary. That was my chest. And everyone's like, oh, what? Shit. And I'm like, I feel left out. I don't know what's going on. I haven't seen the show.
I don't know anything.
But he's like, you know, like, I've known Zach for a really, really long time. I've worked at this museum for a couple of years now. He's like, everything that you see is legit. He's like, you know, like, none of this is a joke. Like, this is all real. He's like, you know, it happened to me personally. He's like, I've seen like, with Zach, I've seen, like, people around me get possessed by things. He's like, something tried to possess me that one time on the show, but, you know, like, Zach pulled me out of it. He's like, everything you see is legit. I want to say, actually, I can probably just Google it and tell you the exact answer.
I just bet he's 44.
Oh, I was going to guess 40, so that's a good guess. Yeah. So it was really, really cool. Does he live
in Las Vegas?
Yes, he does. Yeah, so I think he, like, occasionally will go to the museum just to, like, check, like, footage and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, I guess a lot of people, like, go to the museum and, like, expect to see him there. Oh. And, like, he has, like, TV shows to run. Like, he doesn't have time to go to his museum every day.
Right.
But regardless of if you're going there to see Zach or what, it's still, like, a really, really, really cool experience. And I feel like if this is something... I'd recommend it to everyone. But, like, if you... Like, even if you don't believe in ghosts, even if you just like creepy shit... I would recommend going.
Very neat.
So, yes, that is my, and that's, it's so funny because I've been talking about this for, I feel like, for an hour, but I only talked about four of the things. There's like 30 rooms in that museum. It takes 2 hours to go through.
Oh gosh.
So, like, I didn't even scratch the surface about what's in that place.
I feel like I need to go get a drink after I'm done.
You know, I felt that way too, but I was like, "Yeah, we're about to get on a plane. I probably shouldn't."
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that to myself.
Not again. After that rough night I had on Saturday, I'm good.
Never drinking again.
Oh, never.
Oh gosh. Well, that was really cool. I'm happy that I finally got to hear about it, because I know after you went, you said it was really cool, but that was all that you said to me.
Yeah. I knew I had a lot to talk about, so I didn't want to have to do it all twice. I'm sorry that this was more of just me talking at you than an actual case, but I thought it was a nice switch of things.
Yeah, I like the switch. And I also like, I mean, me personally, I like the banter and the kind of just like casual conversation. So this was cool.
Oh, how did I forget? There was another thing I wanted to talk about really quick in the museum.
Oh,
okay. There was an entire Al Capone room.
Wow.
And there is there was a little corner dedicated to the St. Valentine's Day Massacre that we just talked about.
Are you serious?
Yeah, there was. Okay, so the garage that the massacre happened at,
yes, yeah,
they took a brick out of that building.
Oh, that's,
and they
cool.
have it in a cage, and they were like talking about the massacre, and I was like standing in the corner telling Aaron Moore, I'm like, so what happened at 10 o'clock in the morning? This happened, and then this guy was there, and then this happened, but they think that this happened. Aaron's like, shut up and let them tell the story.
So the dog made it out alive, people.
But in the Al Capone room, there's his, like, dresser and his mirror that he would, like, look into every day while he was getting ready. And then you're standing in this room, and it looks like a library, like, den area. And they're like, oh, and if you look down, the carpet that you're standing on was Al Capone's rug. Like, they just took his rug, and they were like,
cool.
Yeah, they were like, at first we were kind of hesitant about people walking on it, but then Zach decided that you're going to get the most out of this experience by standing on a rug that he stood in to look in the mirror that he was looking in.
Yeah.
Like who thinks of that? That's so fucking cool.
That is cool. I'm mad, I didn't go.
Yeah, but it was also really cool to, like, hear them talk about things that we, like, had just talked about.
Right, yeah.
So I'm sure that'll all still be there when you come with me in 3 years.
Yep. We'll experience it again.
I'm ready to go. I told Aaron that if I had went to this museum at the beginning of the trip instead of the last day of the trip, I probably would have gone a second time by the end of the trip.
Right.
So
you would have, if you went the first, like, day that you were there, then you would have told me about it, and then I would have agreed to go. And then we could
Yeah. Dang. Yeah, so it was really, really cool. And that is the Haunted Museum and Peggy the Doll.
Wow. What a good week.
Yeah. And I'm actually pretty happy that even though we didn't record in Vegas like we wanted to, we're still giving you guys an episode this week. It's just like 2 days late, but that's fine.
Yeah, that's okay. Listen, we were not in the right shape of mind to sit and record.
Yeah. And our recording schedule is going to get changed in a couple weeks anyways.
It is. I would say the middle of March.
Okay.
I think is when my schedule changes. So we're going to record and release at the end of the week now. So you'll get episodes on Fridays.
Instead of Wednesdays.
Instead of Wednesday. So then now you get off work Friday. You're driving home. The weekend's starting. You can listen to our case. You got all weekend. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a fun way to pitch it.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds good to me.
You're like, yeah, okay, sure.
That's a great way to kick off your weekend.
Yeah, it's a good way to kick off your weekend, listening to Tales of the Wicked.
Or if you don't work a 9-to-5, it's a good way to kick off your weekday or your work day.
Yeah, exactly. Bada bing, bada boom.
All right. Well, I know you guys have probably gotten sick of hearing me talk because I've done 2 episodes in a row now. So next week, we will be back on our regular schedule for Sid to do another episode.
Yep.
And we hope you guys really enjoy. This is like kind of like a different episode, but I hope you guys still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And we will talk to you next week.
See you next week.
And don't forget to rate and review, share with your friends, and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's it.
Bye. We didn't catch line or ending phrase.
We'll come up with one eventually.
It's not natural anymore, but
it's we'll not, see you but next that's week. Fine. Yep.
Bye. All right. Bye.